Acts chapter 12. The 12th chapter of the book of Acts. And I'm going to begin reading in verse number 1. And listen carefully as the Lord tells us something that happened. A great miracle, but even more than that, a miracle of the Lord. Now about that time, Herod the king stretched forth his hands to vex certain of the church. And he killed James, the brother of John, with the sword. And because he saw it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to take Peter also. Then were the days of unleavened bread. And when he had apprehended him, he put him in prison and delivered him to 4 quarturions of soldiers to keep him, intending after Easter to bring him forth to the people. Peter, therefore, was kept in prison, but prayer was made without the ceasing of the church unto God for him. And when Herod would have brought him forth, the same night Peter was sleeping between 2 soldiers, bound with 2 chains, and the keepers before the door kept the prison. And behold, the angel of the Lord came upon him, and a light shined in the prison, and he smote Peter on the side and raised him up, saying, "Arise up quickly." And his chains fell off from his hands. And the angel said unto him, "Gird thyself, and bind on thy sandals." And so he did. And he saith unto him, "Cast thy garment about thee, and follow me." And he went out and followed him, and wist not it was true which was done by the angel, but thought he saw a vision. And when they were past the first and second ward, they came unto the iron gate that leadeth unto the city, which opened to them of his own accord. And they went out and passed on through one street, and forthwith the angel departed from him. Father, we thank you this morning that you've given us your word. We thank you, Lord, today that you've given us your Holy Spirit. We thank you, dear Lord, today that Jesus Christ has come and become our Savior. And as we enter that time of the year that we celebrate his resurrection from the grave, Father, we pray that we'll be mindful of what he did for us on the cross and how that he paid for our sins, and Lord, how that he was approved of you through the resurrection. And through the resurrection today, Father, we have hope of eternity. Guide us now and direct us. Let our minds be placed upon you. And for all that you say and all that you do, we'll praise you through eternity in the name of Jesus. Amen and amen. Well, we read here a lot of different things that take place during this particular chapter in the Word of God today. We find that Herod the king has taken James, who was considered the pastor of the church at Jerusalem, and he was one of the sons of thunder, and he has taken him and had him killed today, and it was one of Jesus' most intimate disciples. And you see, I think that Herod thought, "Hey, we get rid of the James, we get rid of this man, and we'll find that the church will die, and I'll be pleased, and the Jews will be pleased this morning." And so, when he saw that after the execution of James, that how the Jews were pleased, and I imagine that they were great praise heaped upon Herod today from the Jewish community, and he was probably a very popular guy at that point in time. So he said, "Hey, I know what I can do. I'll take the big mouth. I'll go get the big fisherman. I'll go get the man that's always outspoken, and I'll take him, and I'll put him into prison, and I'll take care of him also this morning." But there's a phrase that I want you to look at with me in verse number 4 today. Very, very simple little phrase, but you think about what it means. The Bible tells that he had taken Peter and that he had apprehended him, he'd put him in prison, and he had delivered him, and 16 soldiers were standing guard round about him. And he says, "Intending after Easter." Intending after Easter. Vance Havner, that old-time preacher, said some pastor ought to make a sermon out of that, and I thought, well, someone might well be me. And, you know, this morning, this is the only time in the Scripture the word Easter occurred. It occurs nowhere else in the Bible today. Nowhere else in Scripture does it occur. A lot of people say when they read this, well, it should read Passover. And I began to think about that one time, and great Bible scholars and people who today have a lot more knowledge and intelligence than I have said that. But, you know, when you begin to read the Word of God, I believe God today has given us His Word. And I believe God had Easter put here for a very particular reason this morning. You see, the Passover was being celebrated. It was a Jewish holiday. It was a Jewish time when the Jews would celebrate when God passed over them in the land of Egypt and set them free. Well, this morning, our Passover has been sacrificed for us. And we celebrate today the Easter season when He was resurrected from the dead. And that makes us free this morning. Because He lives, we live also today. And I believe this morning that God placed the word Easter here just like He would have it to be this morning. That it's not here because it's a mistake, but it's here because God placed it here. And so Herod says, I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to wait until the Jews get through celebrating their Passover. And on the Easter, the time that the Christians are going to celebrate the resurrection of Christ, I'll show them death. I'll put Peter to death. Intending after Easter. And so this morning you think about that, and you know, you begin to look at it and you think about man's plan. Now the word intending literally means to plan. You see, Herod planned to kill Peter after Easter. That was what he had intended to do. That was his plan. He had probably mapped it out, had everything. I can't read this in the Bible, but as you think about Herod and what you learn about him in Scripture, I imagine he was going to make a big production out of this. He was going to probably invite all the Jewish leaders, all the Sanhedrins. They're all going to probably be brought and watch Peter be put to death and have a big feast, a big party. And they were going to have a great big time. And I would imagine Herod had planned this very carefully. Now, I do want to say this to you this morning. I read this story, and I think Herod was also aware that God today existed. You find that he had 16 soldiers guarding Peter day and night. And not only did they guard him, they were chained to him. And so Herod was afraid that Peter might get away, but he had planned to make a big production. He was going to make himself look like a great king and a great leader and become more popular with the Jewish people this morning. He planned to kill Peter after Easter. That was Herod's plan. That was man's plan this morning. I remember, I wonder today how many today plan after so-and-so to do something. How many plan after so-and-so to do something this morning? A lot of folks say, well, you know, after this particular takes place, I'm going to get my life on the right track. After this happens, I'm going to get my life back where it needs to be. If I can just get my car paid off, if I can just get my house note paid down, if I can just get this, if I can get through this particular time, then I'm going to get my life back on track. I'm going to get back in church. I'm going to get back and serving the Lord like I need to be. I wonder how many people today are like Herod. They're planning after Easter to do something. They're intending to do it this morning. A lot of folks say, well, you know, preacher, when I get everything like I need it to be, I'm going to get saved. I'm going to get this morning right with the Lord today. I'm going to get right with someone. Years ago, there was a country singer by the name of K.T. Oslin, and she wrote a song that I don't remember very much of the song, but the title was always intriguing to me, and I thought, maybe it ought to be the theme of most Baptist churches. It was come next Monday. Come next Monday, I'm going to do this. Come next Monday, I'm going to do this. You see, we're always wanting to put off what we really need to do. We want to put off until tomorrow what needs to be done today. We're always putting plans in place, aren't we? I'm going to do this later. I'm going to do this after today. I begin to wonder today, what do I plan and what do you plan today? You know, I can say, well, I plan to do this if I can get here. If I can just get through this. But you know, this morning, that's our plans, isn't it? Man makes a lot of plans. James talks about that in the book of James today, how that we're going to do this and go and buy and sell. Paul talks about it when he talks about today is the day of salvation. We're always making plans. That's what Herod was doing. He said, intending after Easter, this is what I'm going to do. Do you make any plans today? And a lot of folks say, you know, boy, after Christmas, I'm going on a diet. Then, well, I believe I'll wait till after New Year's. Well, let's see, I believe I'll wait till after Valentine's Day because a preacher will feed us. Then I believe I'll wait till after Easter, and then after Mother's Day and Memorial Day and July the 4th, and, well, Labor Day's coming up, and, well, Halloween and Thanksgiving, and then we're all the way back to Christmas. We plan, don't we? We want to plan today. That's what man does. That's what Herod was doing here, intending after Easter. This is my plan. But you know today, when you begin to look at it, something takes place. Something transpires. Because you see, what is God's plan? Someone has said, and man imposes, but God disposes. Proverbs 16 and verse number 9, the Bible says a man's heart deviseth his way. He makes his plans, but the Lord directeth his steps. We plan. Paul planned. You ever thought about that? Paul planned to go to Damascus and persecute the Christians, to put Christians in jail, to bring them back to Jerusalem for a trial and imprisonment and possible death. That was Paul's plan. Boy, he was on the fast track to become the great young rabbi, the young rabbi of the year. He was on track to become the head of the Sanhedrin Council. Paul was on track, a Pharisee of the Pharisees, of the tribe of Benjamin. Boy, great, great man the Apostle Paul was set out to be. He planned. But somewhere along the line, he got displanned, didn't he? God disposed of that. He met the Lord on the road to Damascus. He became not a Pharisee, but he became a missionary, a preacher. And that he once persecuted, now he proclaimed. You see, Paul planned. Moses planned. He planned to spend the rest of his life on the backside of the desert, tending his father-in-law's sheep. You know, sometimes we forget that God's got another plan because one day he passed by the burning bush and the Lord spoke to him out of that burning bush. And Moses' life was changed forever. Jonah planned. God said, I want you to go to Nineveh. Jonah said, I'm not going to Nineveh. I'm going somewhere else. I'm going to Tarshish. But he got changed, didn't he? And he wound up in Nineveh anyway. You see, we can make a lot of plans, folks. We can plan and we can think about all of these great things. What you see is everything is in the hand of the Lord. The Lord directeth his steps. See, Herod had a plan. But God had other plans. We need to realize that today. You know, God already had a plan for Peter. I read this and I'm always wondering, you know, you think about this. I mean, Peter's asleep. He's in such a deep sleep, the angel has to wake him up. Now, on the next day, Peter was supposed to be put to death. That was the day they were going to bring him forth and have the big blowout, the big cutoff. And as they were getting ready to do that, Peter was sound asleep, and so asleep that the angel had to wake him up. Now, why was Peter able to sleep so soundly the night before? I believe he had faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, in John 21, Jesus told Peter, he said, hey, he said, you're going to live to be an old man. And one of these days they're going to bring you forth where you don't want to go. You see, Peter had faith in the Lord that if he died, he'd go to heaven. And if the Lord delivered him, he'd just keep preaching. See, God had a plan for Peter. Herod had a plan for Peter, but guess what? God had a plan for Peter. Mm-hmm. Guess who won out? This morning, you know, as you look through life and as you look through things today, that we need to understand that God brought Peter through. You see, Herod's plan was disposed. Look at verses 21 through 23 with me real carefully. And upon a set day, Herod, arrayed in royal apparel, sat upon his throne and made an oration unto them. Now he's trying to appease those of Tyre and Sidon. They've come to him. They're seeking peace. And so he gets on all of his finery, all of his royal apparel, and he sits upon a throne, and he makes an oration unto them. Well, he must have been a great orator, because the Bible says, and the people give a shout, saying, it is a voice of a God and not of a man. And immediately the angel of the Lord smote him, because he gave not God the glory, and he was eaten up of worms and gave up the ghost. Herod intended after Easter to kill Peter. After Easter, Peter was still preaching, and Herod was gone. You see, God changed all of that in a moment. We need to realize today that things are not in our hands. Things are not always going to go how we planned. God directeth the steps. Proverbs and talks a lot about that. And, you know, you think about the things that could happen to you today. A lot of people are planning today to do things. But, you know, death can come. Death is a sudden thing. Very sudden. We read constantly every day in the local newspaper the one thing that's never missed. I've never picked up the newspaper and there not been at least one obituary. Most of the time there's a lot more. Death. See, we plan, but death could claim us before we ever reach that goal, couldn't it? Death is very sudden. Many people have died and never experienced a pain. Perfect looking health. Yesterday evening, Desi and I went over and saw a friend of mine. We were talking, and I remember his daddy. Daddy was a good man. And one morning he got up, sat down. His wife put breakfast on the table. Turned around to go back and get the biscuits out of the oven. She heard something, and then she came back, and his head was in his plate, and he was dead. Death. I'm sure he had a lot of plans to do that day. I knew Mr. Oscar. He had probably planned on doing a lot of things that day, but all that was gone. Death can claim us when we're not even expecting it, you know. Sometimes disillusionment comes. The Bible says that he being often reproved hardeneth his neck, shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. Sometimes we lose our mind. And I hope you don't misunderstand this, but people lose their mind. We call it sometimes Alzheimer's disease, and there's other dementia and a lot of other things today. And I'm not here to make fun of it, but I'm literally telling you today that sometimes we get to the point we can't remember what our plans were. I'm not talking about like me, you know. I mean, I understand that as we get older, things happen. But there are people out there that doesn't know their own children's names. Wouldn't know them if they walked in. That's sad. They don't know the simplest things about life. They've lost their mental capacity. I had a friend. He was in an accident. Got hit on the head. It destroyed something in him. And now he's just like a little child. We lose our ability, our mental capability. We don't know when that's going to happen. We might even lose the desire. Ecclesiastes said, remember thy creator in the days of thy youth. Before the evil days come, and there's no desire. I'm paraphrasing, but that's what he said. We lose our desire. I often wonder. I talk to people, and, you know, some people just have no desire for God. I wonder if they've been often reproved, if they've not remembered their Creator in their days of youth. And I hope you don't take this wrong, but, you know, people say, well, I want to wait till I get old and decrepit, and then I'll live my life and sow my wild seed and do all of this, and then I'll come to God. You know, you may not have any desire to come to God, and you've got to have a desire. We make plans. We intend. We intend to get saved. We intend to turn our life over to the Lord. We intend to do all of these things. Sometimes our plans don't work out, do they? We can be here today and gone tomorrow. I guess some of the saddest things I've seen have been at funerals and in funeral homes and talking to people, and even later after one of their loved ones is gone, and they say, I wish I'd have done this. I wish I had have loved them more. I wish I'd have talked to them more. I wish I'd have done more. That's too late. You know, we make plans, but we're here today and gone tomorrow. How sad that is today, folks. Herod had a plan. You say, why don't we get right? Why don't we do what we need to do now and not later? Why don't we do that? You see, we need to understand. Look at verse 24 with me. But the word of God grew and multiplied. So that was God's plan. Herod, you can kill Peter. You can kill James. You can do whatever you want to do. But the word of God is going to grow and multiply. We need to understand this very simple fact. And that's the point of this whole message today. Is that you and I are not in charge of anything. the Lord directing the steps.
Amen. That's right.
I don't have any control over the future. I don't know what a day is going to bring forth, and neither do you. You know, that's why Jesus said, why are you worried about tomorrow? Take care of today. Tomorrow, take care of itself. The Lord has a plan. And that plan is going to be completed. You read here of how that he delivered Peter. He had a plan for Peter. He miraculously brought Peter out of that jail. We look around and we say, how can the Lord do this? How can the Lord get out of this mess? How? He's God. That's what we need to understand. He's God. He controls this thing. And we don't have to worry about what he's going to do, because he takes care of it step by step. I got to thinking, when Peter got to the house, they'd been praying, and, you know, I said, no, we've been praying, but we really didn't believe the Lord let him go. But I like what it says when Peter, verse 16, it said, but Peter continued knocking, and when they had opened the door and saw him, they were astonished. But he beckoning unto them with a hand to hold their peace. You know, we need to sometimes just be astonished at what the Lord is going to do. But we need to realize that through faith, God's going to do exactly what he said he would do. He declared unto them how the Lord had brought him out of the prison, and he said, go show these things unto James and to the brethren. He said, now, let me tell you what God has done. Now go be a testimony and a witness for the Lord. And he departed and went into another place. I thought about Peter left town and didn't leave no forwarding address. But think about this today. God miraculously brought Peter through because God had a plan. God's plan is going to work, folks. You and I can't control God's plan. We can't control God. God's in charge. We can intend and plan, but ultimately, we better make sure that today we do what God wants us to do. You know, if it's to get right with the Lord, if it's to get saved, if it's to get right with somebody else, if it's this morning to tell somebody you love them, whatever it is that God wants you to do, you need to do it today. I not intend to do it some other time, because you don't know what's going to happen today. The Lord today is directing the steps this morning. What do you need to do? And don't wait till after Easter to get it done. All right. Stand together with me for prayer. Brother Bruce, you and Barbara would come. Heavenly Father, thank you for this time we've been together. We ask you might use this very simple message for the honor and glory of him who loved us and gave himself for us. We ask you now to bless everyone that's here today. We ask you to, for these that, for our number that are sick today and don't feel well today, Lord, you might touch them. For this one that's fixing to undergo heart surgery, Lord, we pray that you'll be with her and guide the doctors and nurses and be with her family and comfort and console them. Give them strength today. And through Jesus Christ we pray. Amen.